I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. This week, Merwin Gerard's study of a man pursued. Dead Man's Tale. Starring George Maharis. Craig Stevens. And Charles McGraw. In Elliot Lewis's production of The Zero Hour.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Zero Hour. Sponsored in part by Chevrolet Division of General Motors and Quaker State Motor Oil. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
Our story this week is a case for rebuttal to the old adage, dead men tell no tales. It's the story of Carl Brooks, a young man, a practicing lawyer, one of two junior district attorneys under political zealot Lloyd Mercer. It will be Carl Brooks's misfortune to be asked to perform a favor by and for his mentor, misfortune that begins with murder and proliferates over a life reborn and a span of 4 years' time. His initial chance discovery and subsequent smoldering guilt will prove to be the driving catalytic force to spirit him back to the scene of the crime. A dead man knows the truth, and for Carl Brooks, a mission of repentance and search for that truth will lead him to peel back the layers of deceit and uncover what we can only call Dead Man's Tale. Our story begins after this word.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free as a sea. Oh, where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I'm finished with school, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free instead. All over the world, there's so much to do. The call of the sea, don't you hear it too? Oh, where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here?
What about the new Navy? You'll get your chance of success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000 or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Picture this. Dusk of a late autumn day in a seemingly typical Midwestern city of 300,000. In the office of District Attorney Lloyd Mercer, the day's work is winding to a close. The secretary has gone home, leaving two young men to their game of darts in the outer office.
Bullseye. How about that shot, Barry?
I don't know. Good, Carl. You stepped over the line.
Now, come on, Barry. You're not going to take 100 points from me over an imaginary line, are you?
Carl Brooks and Barry Wilson, both 24 years old, close friends and Lloyd Mercer's junior DAs.
Gentlemen, who's winning?
You are, Chief, if the latest figures in the polls are right.
Yes, they were very encouraging. Come to the office.
Encouraging? 57% for you, 36% for all the other candidates combined, 7% undecided. And less than a week to go, you're a shoo-in for another term.
I never count votes until election night. Which one of you can spare me a small favor this evening? I have to get home and change for that rally.
Well, I still have some work on the Bostwick brief, and you'll need it first thing tomorrow.
Right. And you've also got a family awaiting dinner.
Which, by the process of elimination, leaves the bachelor with a clear desk. Okay, what can I do for you, Chief?
Barry, would you close the door on your way up?
Hmm? Oh, sure thing.
want you to go to the Delta Hotel and pick up an attaché case for me. The man's name is Robert Henley. He'll be expecting you. He's in room 515. And when you get it, bring it straight to me at election headquarters. I'll need those documents tonight before the rally. Now, I'm off with you.
Yes, sir. Good luck tonight, Mr. Mercer.
What could go wrong? I'm addressing our 57%.
I left the office and took a cab to the Delta Hotel. The desk clerk waved as I walked by, and I told the elevator man, fifth floor. The door to room 515 was, oddly, not quite closed. Mr. Henley? It's Carl Brooks from Lloyd Mercer's office. Mr. Henley. Mr. Henley, are... Mr. Henley. Hey. What? Oh, my God. Hello, main desk. Get me the...
Cute.
What?
But not cute and melt.
Harris, what are you doing here?
No need to ask what you're doing, is there? Calling the Red Cross, maybe? Donating blood?
This man's dead.
Oh, that's very good, Counselor. Very good indeed. I'll take that money now.
What?
Come on, come on. It's too late for games. You're out of your league, sonny.
What are you talking about? You think I killed him?
Fancy that. Tell you what, just hand over the cash and I'll forget I saw you here. You can run and maybe you can beat the murder rap.
No, wait a minute. This is insane.
Not insane, just stupid. But then you couldn't know I'm making a habit to keep my eye on my investments.
Your investments? Look, I don't have any idea of what you're talking about, Ferris, but I'm going...
You're not going to do anything or go anywhere until you cough up that 150 grand.
150? Get out of my way, Ferris.
Sorry. The money, Brooks. Hand it over or I'll...
Lloyd Mercer, please. It's urgent.
Carl?
Sir?
Well, you're lucky I'm still here, boy. Where are you? What's the matter?
Everything's the matter. Robert Henley is dead.
What? I'm sorry, Carl. I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
Robert Henley. He's dead.
What?
I went up to his room and found him on the floor. His throat. It was cut from ear to ear.
What about the attaché case?
Well, it was still handcuffed to his wrist, but it was broken open and it was empty.
Empty?
There's all $150,000 worth of documents. Mr. D.A., are you there?
You'd better get over here right away, Carl.
Joe Ferris was there. He saw me in the room. He thinks I killed
Henley. Oh, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
He said there was money involved.
Where is he now?
Well, Ferris? He's still up there. I don't know. I don't plan to be around when he comes to. I had to hit him to get out.
Come over to headquarters. I have to see you.
Well, everyone else has. Farris, the desk clerk, the elevator man, my fingerprints. They're all over that room.
Carl, I'll explain, but not over the phone.
Well, just explain two things to me. $150,000 and one dead man.
You get over here, Brooks. Now. Right now.
Mercer? Mercer! Taxi! Taxi!
Carl! Hey, Carl, where are you going? The chief told me to pick you up and... Carl!
Airport! And move!
Carl!
price is what you pay, value is what you get. And Chevrolet wants to make sure that when you purchase a new truck, you get value for every dollar you spend. So we build in value throughout the truck. Like the strength of two walls of steel in our Fleetside pickup box, roof, hood, and front fenders. A massive girder beam independent front suspension. And a brake system that's computer matched to truck size and capacity. That's Chevy value. It helps to account for the fact that year in and year out, there are more Chevy trucks in use than any other make. Price is what you pay, value is what you get. And with a Chevy truck, you get lasting value.
It's Chevy's truck. Lasting value. We build them up to do the job, cause that's the Chevy way. It's Chevy truck. With lasting value, you get your money's worth with Chevrolet. It's Chevy truck.
It wasn't logical, and it wasn't intelligent. It was sheer, blind panic that made me take the first westbound plane out of town. After all, I was innocent, regardless of how it looked. But it looked like a setup, with me, dead center in the frame. When the plane landed, I bought a hometown paper. The story of Henley's murder was all over the front page. Carl Brooks was a wanted man. I had to establish a new life, if I was to survive, beginning with a new name, Charles Barrows. A 3-day construction job brought me into a small central town in California, the town of Coulter. I stayed 4 years, growing with the town. I enrolled in a real estate school where I met Jenny Duncan. We studied together, and in 4 years, our friendship blossomed into something far greater. Be right there, Jen.
How's my land bearing doing today?
Fine, let's go.
Where?
Anyway, just drive somewhere.
All right. Rough day at the office?
Not really.
You sure had me fooled, Charles Barrows.
What? What do you mean?
Honey, all I meant was you're terribly cranky today.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jenny. I didn't mean to take it out on you. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do, believe me. Let's go to the lake. We've always been able to say what we mean there.
All right.
See the circle the pebble makes in the water? I bet you can't throw one inside it.
I thought we came here to say what we meant. What is it, Charles?
Oh. Well, a man came in today. He was interested in a piece of property over by Golden Valley. I was showing him the brochure when he said he thought he'd seen me somewhere before.
Well, that is possible. Coulter isn't San Francisco.
He just moved here from the Midwest.
He probably thought you were someone else.
Like Carl Brooks.
Who? Charles, what are you not telling me?
Jenny, do you know how much I love you? I mean, how much you mean to me? 4 years ago, a man was killed in the town I grew up in. Carl Brooks worked for the district attorney at the time. He found the body, but that's all he did. But it was somehow made to look like he was a suspect, the prime suspect.
What happened to him?
Well, he disappeared.
And you have the same color hair, right?
We're one and the same.
I don't believe it.
Well, it's true. And if it weren't, well, I'd have proposed marriage a long time ago.
Charles.
My conscience wouldn't allow me to ask. I mean, I'd give up anything for you, Jenny. I would. And I will.
But what does it all mean?
Well, I've decided to give myself up. I'm going back, Jenny, to clear myself, clear my name.
What happens to us? I love you, whoever you are. I'm going with you.
No. You mustn't. Please, Jenny. I mean, it's painful as it is.
But what if... You said you were innocent.
I was weak then. I was a coward. I couldn't have fought the law, even though they were wrong. But it's different now. I have something to fight for. And that's exactly what I plan to do.
Morning, Mr. Thompson. Sure is cold this morning.
Cold? It must be 94 in the shade.
I mean it's cold inside your car's engine.
Why didn't you say so?
You didn't ask.
Well, just tell me how my engine can be cold on a sweltering day.
Glad you asked. When you start a car first thing in the morning, your engine is cold.
Well, that's true, but so what?
A cold engine does a bad job of burning gas. It can make soot, dirt, and acids form in your motor oil. And they can sure damage an engine.
What can I do about it?
Glad you asked. Instead of asking for my cheapest oil, you can start using a quality motor oil, Quaker Steak. Nothing finer than Quaker Steak. It's made scientific to neutralize acids and hold solids suspended so they don't gouge out your engine.
Well, thanks for telling me, Caleb.
Down a quart, Mr. Thompson. Quaker State?
Well, yes. Why didn't you give me Quaker State before?
You didn't ask.
Quaker State your car to keep it running young.
It was only 2 hours by air back to the city where I'd lived most of my life. But it seemed an eternity until the plane touched down at the airport. The moment I stepped under the ground, the feeling of guilt returned. Hundreds of people in that city knew me by sight. And if I was picked up before I had the chance to turn myself in, it would be impossible to prove I came back to give myself up. Voluntarily, that is.
A taxi, mister?
Yes.
Where to?
The county offices.
Right.
Driver, would you happen to know, is Lloyd Mercer still the district attorney?
Not since the election last month. We got a new one, named Jameson.
Oh, I see. Then Mercer won a second term and was defeated this year.
Nope. Mercer didn't run for the air this year. The way I hear it, Jameson's his boy. Mercer ran for Superior Court.
Judge? Judge Mercer?
Yeah, another landslide. They're saying he'll run for governor next time. Ed Mercer's got one smooth machine.
Yeah. Well, he's the one I want to see.
Well, that'll be the courthouse.
Good afternoon, Judge Mercer's chambers. Just a moment, please. Your Honor, there's a Mr. Alan Bledsoe calling. On line one, sir. Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to see Judge Mercer, please.
Your name, please?
Brooks. Carl Brooks.
I'm afraid you'll have to make an appointment, Mr. Brooks. Will tomorrow afternoon be satisfactory?
Look, I have to see him right away.
The judge is a very busy man.
Could you please tell him I'm here?
All right, I'll ring in, but... Judge, there's a Mr. Brooks out here, and he insists... Yes, Carl Brooks. Yes, sir. He said to go right in, Mr. Brooks.
Carl, how are you? Well, don't just stand there. Sit down. Tell me, how have you been? What have you been doing? What brings you back to our fair city?
I don't understand. I mean, I came back to give myself up.
Give yourself? Oh, what you mean, the Henley murder?
Of course.
Oh, that's marvelous. You mean you've been thinking all these years, what is it now, almost five? You've been worried, hiding? Carl, there's no charge against you.
No but I read in the paper. I mean, the day after it happened that I was the prime suspect.
You were, for a couple of hours. It was open and shut, Carl. The murderer was apprehended, tried, convicted, and executed. We still have the death penalty to him.
You mean all this time, the running, the changing my name, giving up my law career, living with fear that at any time... For nothing? I mean, it was all for nothing?
I am sorry, Carl, but if you hadn't run...
I'm free? You mean I'm free?
As the proverbial bird, Carl. But I hope this doesn't mean you're going to fly away before we've had a chance to have dinner together, or at least a drink.
Look, can I make a phone call first?
You're welcome to use my phone.
No, thank you. No, it's long distance and personal. I've got a question to spring on a young lady.
My premature congratulations. A local girl?
No, California. Maybe it all turned out for the best. I mean, if I hadn't left, I never would have met Jenny.
But you won't leave town without saying goodbye.
Judge, you have my solemn oath.
You're sure, darling? Absolutely sure?
That's what the man said. Look, I'll be on my way now, but there just isn't a plane leaving for the coast until tomorrow.
I'll come there if you like.
No. Don't you dare. I'm coming home for life.
Oh, Carl. I have to get used to calling you Carl.
Look, I'm going to check into a hotel, and then I'll pick up some of my things and, well, maybe have a drink with Mercer or whoever before I leave.
Mrs. Carl Brooks. Jennifer Brooks. I like the sound of it.
Hey, you're not listening.
Oh, yes, I am. You're coming home.
See you tomorrow, love. Goodbye.
Bye.
Carl? Is that Carl Brooks?
Hugo. Hugo! Wow, you look great. I mean, it's really been a long time. Hey, you still with the Chronicle? How the hell are you?
Can't complain. Up till now. What happened? Mercer bring you back to run his next campaign?
Hugo.
I wasn't notified of any high school class reunion.
Hugo, come on now. Why are you riding me?
How'd you like the trial?
Oh, believe it or not, today's the first I've heard of it. I mean, all along, I thought that you knew...
You're a long time late.
Late? For what?
Barry Wilson, for one.
Barry? What about him? I mean, I was just going to call him.
I'm afraid they don't have phone service where Barry is.
Where is he?
You don't know? You really don't know?
No.
Barry was executed for Henley's murder.
Barry? Well, that's impossible.
Was it?
But, no, that's not possible. I mean, I saw him. I mean, he was just arriving at the hotel after Henley was dead.
That's what Barry kept saying, that he had a perfect alibi. You.
But the trial, Hugo. He was convicted.
Because you were running, because you weren't here to testify for him. He kept saying, Carl will come back and prove I'm innocent. But Carl was running to save his own skin. And Mercer needed a quick arrest to assure his re-election as DA. Barry was the perfect pigeon.
But a jury doesn't convict without. I mean, they must have had some evidence.
You keep telling yourself that if it's any comfort. Sure, Mercer built up a case and made it stick because Barry's only witness couldn't be found.
But you see, I thought I was the one they were looking for.
If you were innocent, why'd you run? Well, maybe you weren't. You said yourself Barry couldn't have done it.
Barry's dead? Wow. What about Ellen and their little girl?
Oh, they're doing fine. Just fine. Ellen's adjusted to life as a widow. And the kids at school make it wonderful for little Katie. Oh, but don't let it bother you, Carl. Obviously, it hasn't so far. Send him a card after you leave. Goodbye, Carl. Have a wonderful life.
You are listening to Mutual's presentation of The Zero Hour.
Tomorrow at this time, rest your eyes and listen here to this week's continuing study in suspense, Dead Man's Tale. I'm Rod Serling, and this is The Zero Hour.
This episode brought to you in part by Chevrolet and Quaker State. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio. have been listening to The Zero Hour, a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System in association with Hollywood Radio Theater, heard every weekday at this time. Rod Serling is your host. Zero Hour is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. The Hollywood Radio Theater theme was played by Ferranti and Teicher and is now available on United Artists Records and Tapes. Hugh Douglas speaking. Tune in tomorrow, and once again,
rest your eyes and listen here
to The Zero Hour. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.